This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And that helps us demarcate these weeks, which are passing by in sort of a time warp, right? As we continue amidst COVID-19, our sense of time is distorted. But one way that you can actually reorient yourself to the passage of time is that around midweek, we usually see the appearance of Q&A with Layla. So it can help, you know, you can say, what day is this? Oh, it's Q&A with Layla Day.
Yay!
and that also helps to create a certain rhythm amidst the rather boringness of summer 2020. You know, Layla, I was really anticipating the debut of baseball, much delayed. Obviously, because it usually starts in April. I'm used to going to Yankee Stadium and just freezing. You know, it just, can you imagine? You know, sitting there in the stands in the early games of the year, you know, you have to wear like a snorkel jacket to withstand the cold. It's like going to a football game. You know, you want to have like a hip flask of, you know, some warming libation to keep you going during those long games. Yeah, and gloves, you know, like hand warmers. Now it's just, you know, the middle of summer, we're in the midst of a heat wave, and it's the beginning of baseball season. So this is the tease. We started with a couple of Yankees games, had a series with the Washington Nationals, which was, you know, kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. And now they have postponed Yankee games, as you probably know if you listen to the news, because not because anybody in the Yankees tested positive, not because any of their potential opponents tested positive, but one of their potential opponents, the Philadelphia Phillies, was playing the Miami Marlins, who had an inordinate number of patients turn positive. I think it was 14 patients. I call them. Everybody's a patient in my view. Well, you know, everybody's becoming a patient. Let's put it that way. You know, team members and staff who tested positive. So immediately they quarantined the Miami Marlins. Anybody had contact with the Miami Marlins is like all of a sudden persona non grata. And it's like, on your mark, get set, go back to square one. You know, no more baseball. And, you know, the whole season, I think, is being threatened.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's small wonder that people are out there, you know, setting fire to buildings. Mm-hmm. The frustration level is high.
Right. And I'll bet you were looking forward to putting a picture on those cardboard cutouts they have in the stands.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be wild if you would have like five of you there in a row?
Like clones. What's weird is when somebody hits a home run like way up into the stands, and instead of there being this big scrim to get the ball just sits there forlornly, you know, on the concrete, you know, way up in the bleacher section of the stadium. And you know, the telephoto lens focuses on the ball. It's just sitting there. Nobody's bothering to get it. It's kind of weird. But, you know, here's hoping that this dies out. I mean, I think it's the first pitch was thrown out by Anthony Fauci. Tony Fauci throughout the first bit. And I think that that was a perfect metaphor for the modeling and predictions made by Tony Fauci and others. He threw it, he was about 20 degrees off home plate. I mean, he got it sort of in the direction of home plate, but about 20 degrees off. And of course, it was a little embarrassing for Tony Fauci because, you know, we depend on him for accuracy. But when it comes to throwing the ball to the plate, he did not quite. Well, look, I mean, he's an older guy. He's got shoulder problems. But it was a great honor to throw the ball out. I'm not sure I could do that much better. But, you know, I just thought.
I bet you could.
Yeah, it was a metaphor. It was like, you know. Get this ball to home plate. It's like, not quite. So there's an interesting article here in the Times of Israel before we get to questions. By the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the place to send questions. We thank you for your questions. We're going to leave plenty of time to answer them. But this is based on an article that was peer-reviewed in the FEBS Journal. I don't know what that stands for, but it sounds legit. People in Israel, first of all, Israel's sunny country, right? They said that the average vitamin D in this sample was 21, which is pretty lousy. And there was a differentiation. Those who tested positive for COVID-19 had an average vitamin D count of 19. And people who went on to be hospitalized had a lower mean vitamin D content. 17 nanograms per milliliter, which is abysmal. These people were age 15 over, and they say that, amazingly, 70% of Israelis have low vitamin D levels. I mean, a super sunny country. And, you know, I think what may account for that is that there's a population of Israelis who are Orthodox, and they cover up.
And they're very covered up,
They cover up. The Haredi cover up. And then also there's a high population of older individuals. And, you know, my mom, for example, lived in Southern California, and I had her vitamin D tested. She suffered from bad rheumatoid arthritis. I thought that maybe her vitamin D levels had something to do with it. And we found her vitamin D levels were 7. This is in sunny Southern California. So, so they say that they're growing suggestions that good vitamin D levels help people to deal with the coronavirus. A recent German study concluded that much more attention should be paid to the importance of vitamin D status for the development and course of the disease. Now, I presume that we're preaching to the choir here, that the vast majority of our listeners are on the vitamin D train, and if indeed they become infected, they will have less serious consequences. You know, I wrote an article this week, which I think has a catchy title, Why Do the U.S. Get Hit So Hard with Coronavirus? That's going to be published this week, and it'll be in our newsletter, and then it'll be on social media. But in that article, I mentioned this amazing initiative, a coalition of health organizations called the Federal Nutrition Advisory Group, issued a white paper which calls into question Americans' fitness, and they talk about how this is actually a threat to national security. 71% of people between the ages of 17 and 24 do not qualify for military service, and obesity is the leading medical disqualifier. We talked about that here on Intelligent Medicine. I'm quoting from the white paper. More Americans are sick than are healthy, largely from rising diet-related illnesses. These conditions create tremendous strains on productivity, healthcare costs, create health disparities, government budgets, U.S. economic competitiveness, and military readiness. The coronavirus disease outbreak has further laid bare these strains, including food insecurity, major diet-related comorbidities for poor outcomes from COVID-19, such as diabetes, hypertension, and obesity, and insufficient surveillance on and coordination of our food system. So they're calling for a massive effort to reform America's food supply. So, you know, something we've been talking about, right?
Yeah. What are we going to do with big agricultural and big food manufacturers and all of that? I mean, they will continue to advertise things like, well, you can drink your Coca-Cola because it's a matter of balance. You want to make sure that you exercise enough.
You know, there's an issue of sort of corporate responsibility, but also the image of, you know, corporate imaging. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we've seen this with the social justice movement. We've seen a lot of big corporations getting behind BLM, mm-hmm. you know, and controversy about, you know, whether that's a worthy expression of the social justice movement. But putting that aside, you know, I think mm-hmm. that a lot of companies are virtue signaling around social justice and equity and all those good things. Mm-hmm. But what they really... you know, I'd like to see an initiative on the food and nutrition side towards improving the health and resilience of Americans, rather than pandering to the cravings and addictions of Americans. Yes, I know that, you know, that's, there's money there, but it's at the price of undermining Americans' well-being. And... Yeah. You know, the title of the article is Why Did the U.S. Get Hit So Hard with Coronavirus? There are many factors involved, but I really suspect it's our lack of resilience as a society, as individuals, that, you know, yeah, there's a virus. It means some people are going to get sick. Quite a high percentage of Americans may be infected by the time this is over, but should we be seeing such a death toll?
True.
You know.
True. Well, you've talked about that, the health of Americans. You've talked about having poor protoplasm. For example, that was a very nice article. And then, yeah, that would be a worthy movement for cleaning up. And, well, what do you think of this whole plant-based diet movement as well?
Well, that's, I mean, I think that
it's
there's
a bit of a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, that ostensibly looks like a double, you know, double whammy. It's, you know, we're going to save the planet because we're going to have a plant production, which is less costly to the environment than animal production. And at the same time, we know that meat is bad for you and saturated fat is bad for you. Therefore, you're going to eat
a lot
of plants.
Therefore, eat all these carbs.
Yeah. But then, you know, always American business is very ingenious at co-opting even the best initiatives. So what they say is, okay, fine, you know, you want plant-based, you know, we'll give you faux meat. And the faux meat, you know, made with ingenious industrial technology to taste like, you know, the Impossible Burger and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Not great ingredients. In fact, you know, kind of a toxic brew. And we're dishing that up to, you know, suggest to Americans that they're improving their health. Well, no, that's not necessarily the case.
Right. Right. Agree.
Yep. All right. Let's get to questions.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the Times, and now this is about the New York Times, we've got an interesting email here from Loretta,
right.
Dr. Hoffman.
So it's just a little context. You know, I wrote an article which decries the New York Times. And what prompted me to do that was Barry Weiss, who is a writer for the Times. And herself, she's a liberal. She's a self-professed progressive and liberal. But she felt marginalized in the on the staff in the New York Times. And she wrote a kind of whistleblower, you know, op-ed where she decries the extreme bias and out-and-out prejudice that is now that is befalling the Times editorial staff, and you know, it's pervasive throughout the Times. Is that I mean, you could read a book review, and even the book review that's about, I don't know, it could be about you know, medieval landscaping, you know, but somehow it's going to get in some sort of contemporary reference that virtue signals the Times perspective. Anyway, she's ticked off and she writes this letter. And so, you know, notwithstanding whether your views resonate with the New York Times, because I think a lot of our listeners, you know, enjoy reading the Times and enjoy their perspective, and others, you know, in these polarized times, find the Times repugnant and so-called fake news. But looking at their coverage, just look at their coverage of the nutritional scene and vitamins and supplements, and it's just unrelentingly negative.
Yeah,
I can't remember a time when the New York Times wrote a balanced article about supplementation. with very lurid headlines. So one of our listeners commented on that. I mean, I'm just going to read you, you know, some of the headlines, if you don't mind, from the New York Times. This is just a sampling of headlines in the past few years. Older Americans are hooked on vitamins. Choose foods, not supplements. The problem with probiotics. Multivitamins may not provide heart benefits. Is it time to give up on fish oil? Vitamin D and fish oils are ineffective for preventing cancer and heart disease. Supplements won't prevent dementia, but these steps might. Studies show little benefit in supplements. Opinion, don't take your vitamins. By none other than, that was by Paul Offit, who is, you know, a real inveterate opponent.
Oh, vaccine dude.
Yeah, vaccine dude, who's a real inveterate opponent of supplementation. Yeah. Won't allow supplements for children at the CHOP, his institution, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Supplements for coronavirus probably won't help and may harm. Is the latest. So get the drift. And, you know, if you go back a couple of weeks, that was one of our newsletter articles that I wrote about the inherent anti-supplement bias in the Times. So anyway, Loretta wrote
something. Loretta would like you to send a letter to the editor of the New York Times.
Oh, that's
because she's really happy you wrote your article, the New York Times is a bias problem.
How many
in the last newsletter?
How many letters have I written to the New York Times? I've just, you know, and they never published them. They never published them.
Mm-hmm. Too bad.
Yep.
Too bad for them. Yeah. Too bad for them. Loretta, thank you for your note.
So she's saying that she's having trouble getting her letters placed even in the local media.
She wrote a letter to New York Times in April. It was well written within the word count, and it was never published. And even her local newspaper also failed to publish her op-ed piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Although many previous ones on other subjects have been published through the years.
Yeah.
But not about this topic, apparently.
Yeah, the conventional media really is closed down. Is really closed down to information about supplements. But that's why we have this. That's why we have intelligent medicine, and that's why we have kind of a lot of alternative media, because you know, you can't rely on mainstream media to broadcast some of the true perspectives on some of the important stories of our time, you know, whether it's political stories or whether it's stories about complementary alternative medicine.
Yeah.
Because they certainly have a, you know, there's closed-mindedness towards it.
True. True. And how unfortunate that that is happening, right?
Yep.
Oh, Loretta.
Shall we pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with our listeners?
Oh,
let's do that
now.
All right. Listen up. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
Oh, we've got from Lorraine. She's wondering if there's any truth in this. And what she sent us is an article from The Reader's Digest. Remember The Reader's Digest?
Right.
I grew up with The Reader's Digest.
I once read the War and Peace version of the Reader's Digest version of War and Peace. It was like 47 pages long. It was great. It was a good read. They didn't use big words either.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
So according to this article in Reader's Digest,
I actually did read War and Peace. I think I was nine. You know.
Oh my, that's precocious. Wow. Anyway.
I was bored. What can I tell you?
So, according to this Reader's Digest article, copper stops microbes, including coronaviruses, mm-hmm. from C. diff to MRSA mm-hmm. to the COVID-19 virus. Many of the microbes that make us sick can survive for days on metal and plastic surfaces, but one readily available material can stop them.
Yeah.
Copper.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, Reader's Digest, never was such great shakes. And these days, I'm not even sure how viable it is. I would like to see the context of the article, because pretty sure that somewhere on the pages of the Reader's Digest appears some ads for some copper masks or some something. You know, there's probably maybe some element of placement for an article mm-hmm. like that. There is not a lot of strong evidence that putting copper threads inside a mask mm-hmm. or mask material can slow the spread of the coronavirus. Now, one thing we do know, that copper can be antibacterial. And so there's a lot of, for example, there's Tommy Copper, which... is designed to be like an antibacterial, they have like t-shirts and underwear and things like that. And there may be something to that, is that it may prevent odors and smells from developing because the bacteria can grow. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing, a simpler way of doing that is, if you have a sweaty t-shirt or something, just don't throw it in a hamper and let it sit for a few days, because the bacteria can proliferate. Get it into some warm water with soap and clean it out. I'm not sure that the copper is that well documented, even against bacteria, much less viruses. I mean, virus is a different thing.
True that. That's interesting, because what they're citing here is, they say in a new study, researchers found that nearly 90% of the samples taken from traditional hospital beds mm-hmm. had unsafe levels of bacteria.
Okay.
Despite regular cleaning and disinfections, but
beds
made with copper rails, footboards, and controls had an average of 94% fewer bacteria.
Yeah.
So they're talking about bacteria. They're not talking about viruses. Yeah,
exactly. And people conflate those. So they somehow, it's like, okay, it's good against bacteria. It's not necessarily. What's interesting about copper is that copper these days, if I'm not mistaken, is rather expensive. I mean, a neighbor of mine, left her house in the Hamptons over the winter, and she came back to find, to her horror, that all her copper piping had been stripped out by copper robbers.
Stolen.
Yeah. Have you heard about that? I mean, your husband's
that
in the...
dear friend of mine.
Your husband's in the contracting business. Isn't copper an expensive material?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why it was stolen. That's exactly what happened to her. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure that is really the case. Mm. I think that masks mostly perform as barriers.
Yeah.
And especially if they are, real hospital quality masks, they truly are respirators mm-hmm. With filters. And other masks, you can still sort of breathe around them, but, if you sneeze or somebody sneezes in your direction, they're going to catch some of the big hunks of loogie that get flung towards you. I don't know about the tiny aerosolized particles. They can work their way around the mask. Maybe they can get into your eyes. It's not clear if that's a means of transmission. Masks are a speed bump, and,
yeah.
We don't abolish speed bumps because they're not 100% effective. They're somewhat effective. They slow cars mm-hmm. down, but they don't stop them dead.
Still an obvious barrier.
Yeah.
That, speed bumps or masks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So with or without copper, you know, and copper, we'll have to see if copper really is, you know, so much for the Reader's Digest. You know, when I tire reading the proceeds of the National Academy of Sciences or, you know, the New England Journal of Medicine, I turn to Reader's Digest for my authoritative information. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Oh, my. Yeah. Thank you, Lorraine,
it's light,
for that.
It's light reading. I mean, I need a break sometimes. Okay. Right. So let's, we're coming up against a break. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Layla, give us a little forecast of what we're going to tackle in part two.
Help. My grandson's multivitamin has fluoride in it and things like polysorbate 80.
Okay. We'll tackle that in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. And we'll be right back with more on today's Intelligent Medicine.